missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. And how was your week?
It was good. How was yours?
It's flu season. I'll just say that.
And yeah, you've had a rough week.
It was not me, but people are getting the flu. So work, home, everything. It's been intense. But I keep a positive attitude and we pulled through here. And I was still able to focus on getting my case done for this episode. And I love
it. And that's really what matters.
That you're right. That is what matters. So I'm really excited, but I'm not going to jump in because every time I do, you're like, wait a minute, wait a minute. I've got
no,
something.
I'm going to let
you don't have anything.
I'm going to say it's a broken record, guys. Please like, subscribe, rate, review, all the things. We can make a song about it. You know, do all of those things and subscribe to Patreon if you haven't yet, because it's crazy to hear what people think on those cases. Yeah, that's all I got.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
It's my normal PSA, you know?
I know.
Well, so I don't think until I was a podcaster. Is that what we are now? We're podcasters, I guess. I mean, it's weird.
I mean, you can until call I... me anything you want, I guess. But I like to go with podcaster. It feels good.
Yeah. Well, until I was a podcaster, like, I never realized how much it meant to, like, click the little 5-star button or click the little subscribe button. You know, like, you don't really think about it. You're like, all right, cool. I'm listening to a podcast. That's great.
I agree.
But it really makes a difference.
It does. And I have to say that I probably rate, subscribe, and all this stuff now that I'm doing it. And I'm doing it just because I feel like it's just not my responsibility, but, like, it's helpful, you know? So.
100%. All right. That's all PSA. You guys don't want to hear us talk about everything like that every single week. And if you know what, we know how many people listen to us and we know how many like and follow us and review. Mm-hmm. And if the numbers are the same, we won't say it anymore.
That's right.
Either way. All right. You got a case, right?
I do. This case is pretty captivating to me. I hope it's captivating to you too. And hopefully someday find some answers. This week.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Is there tapes I can ask to see?
Yep.
Then I'm in. Sign me up.
Yes. You'll get your tapes this week, girl.
Oh, one other thing before I say that. We love the feedback. Everyone, please keep social mediaing us, like, your thoughts and your theories. I don't know how many times this week alone, Amy and I have made jokes about burning our hunting clothes from the Michelle Harris case.
Yes. Yep.
Like, please keep telling us what your opinions are of things.
100%. And we love them on social media. A lot of people love the emails.
Yeah. We get a lot of emails, which we appreciate. We read every single one. We try to respond. But if you guys talk on social media, you guys can also talk to each other. So.
True story.
All right. Go ahead.
All right.
Show me the tapes.
All right, girl. So this week, I'm going to tell you about Stephen Kocher. And it is from the last 20 years, guys.
I'm really excited about that.
I'm sure a lot of you are. So Stephen Kocher was born on November 1st, 1979. He was born in Texas, and he was one of four children and lived with his parents until going to college. Stephen grew up Mormon. He was a Boy Scout. He was, you know, just a decent student. He did missionary work, which is part of the Mormon faith. In case you don't know, the faith encourages young men in particular. I do want to say that I think they encourage everyone to do missionary work, but it seems to be that the percentages of men who participate in the missionary work are much higher. And they do this for a period of time before, you know, returning to their studies or their careers or what have you. So Stephen, in his case, he went to Brazil. And if I understand correctly, he did that for a couple of years. And then I believe he came back and pursued college. And he eventually graduated successfully from the University of Utah. So, like I said, he was born in Texas, but then he went to school in Utah.
Okay.
And although things aren't specific, it sounds like at least his parents were residing in Utah, too. So, I mean, it makes sense that this would be like a detail that I can't find anywhere because it's not really relevant. But it didn't sound like his parents stayed in Texas. Eventually, they're in Utah. But anyway.
Okay. So they're all in Utah.
Stephen appeared to be kind, easygoing, hardworking. He was devoted to his faith. So Stephen didn't drink or do drugs or engage in illegal activity. I think one article said, like, he didn't have as much as a parking ticket on his record. And the faith prohibits all these things. So he probably didn't have the stereotypical, I stress stereotypical, college experience of partying and doing all that stuff. He was just very focused on his career path and his faith.
Okay.
So after Stephen graduated, he appeared to stay in the Salt Lake area, Salt Lake City area, after, yeah, like I said, graduation, and he picked up newspaper jobs. Now, he wasn't always a journalist. He seemed to be into marketing, so he had different jobs that wasn't really focused. And Stephen ended up in the St. George area, finally, after years in the Salt Lake City area. And this was in April of 2009. So to give you an idea about Utah, because I didn't know either, Salt Lake City is the northern part of the state of Utah, and he moved down to St. George, which is literally like, looks like one of the biggest towns at the southern border. So it borders on Arizona and Nevada. So the distance between the two are 4 hours and 14 minutes.
And like St. George is really, like you said, almost in Arizona and in Nevada. Like it's right on the border almost.
Yes. And my understanding is that he told people, he's like, I'm sick of this cold weather. I can't do it anymore. Remember, this kid's from Texas. So he moved south to get a little more comfortable. And you can appreciate that, Melissa.
Oh, 100%. I was just complaining the other day that it's cold here. And then I look at your weather and I'm like, well.
Meanwhile, I'm a glutton for punishment. So I stay in the Northeast.
If you ever want to move here, you're welcome.
No, I'll just torture myself here. Thanks. So anyway, before Steven's disappearance, things seemed to be a bit tough. Now, I really want to preface this in saying, like, the more I read about what his family thinks and friends and people that were around him that could attest to his attitude and demeanor, like, things were tough for him, but he had a really good attitude. Like, he was a positive guy.
What was really tough for him?
I'm going to tell you. So,
oh, good. I'm glad I asked.
Great. So he was having a hard time making ends meet. So okay. He was kind of working outside his skill area, which was in the journalism kind of arena. Like I said, he was doing marketing, different things for newspapers. He was actually having a really hard time at this point making rent. He had fallen considerably behind and, you know, he was having trouble getting a job that was paying. And I'm pretty sure he was kind of job hopping here and there. He wasn't really able to secure a job.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's living away from his parents, however you look at it. And he doesn't have this huge support system. I know he has his people in the church, but, you know, when you're not able to make ends meet on a place to live, I imagine that's pretty stressful in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, well, I would imagine so.
Right. So that brings us to the 3 or so days before Stephen's disappearance. On December 10th of 2009, boy, stuff gets weird.
Oh, good. I love when you start a sentence with that.
I know it's, I don't know how else to say it.
It's about to go down.
Basically. So, like I said, okay. Steven is behind on rent, and his landlord is unable to get a hold of him. So the landlord calls Steven's father as he's an emergency contact. So Steven's dad gets a hold of Steven, but Steven's like, I can't talk. I'm in the middle of doing something. We'll talk about this later. I kind of just want to say that the day of the 10th is a busy day and a lot happens. And a lot of articles fairly hit on all the facts about the day. The timeline.
Hang on, I'm pulling out a notebook. All right, I'm ready. I got my notebook out now.
Great. Like I said, the articles that I found are, they fairly hit all the facts about the day, but the timelines are all different. So I'm going to tell you the facts, but keep in mind that they might not be in order, okay? At least on this day. So several times this day, he had spoke with family who report he seemed positive and he was in good spirits. He was talking about the holiday, so he was looking to the future. And, you know, nothing huge came out of these conversations. He at no point mentioned that he was anywhere but St. George. Well, I bet you're asking, what did I miss? Well, here's what you missed. That day, Stephen drove 6 hours to Ruby Valley in northern Nevada, where he showed up unexpectedly at his ex's ranch. Now, 6 hours is quite a distance to take a day trip. Seemingly spontaneous, but that's what he did.
Yeah, because you're gonna drive 12 round trip if you go home
to his ex's ranch.
To his ex's, and then
well,
was his ex like, hello?
Evidently wanted to say hi as he was passing through. She wasn't there, but her parents were, and he stayed and had lunch before he was leaving. He said to them he was going to Sacramento to see family. Even though he had no family there.
I was just going to say, you didn't mention Sacramento. And then he left from St. George, right?
That's correct.
So we're looking at like a 10-ish hour ride. All right.
There's no evidence that he went to Sacramento. According to gas records, it appears that he basically just went back the way he came, back towards St. George.
So, okay. Did this ex, like, break his heart because he drove 6 hours to say hi and then drove back home?
There's nothing that I found on that.
I mean, I feel like that's a little crazy.
Believe that they didn't feel, for whatever reason, it was relevant. And there are a lot of details in this case. This was relatively covered well.
Okay.
I would say. So he goes back to St. George. Steven goes to work on December 11th. So that wasn't just like Steven disappeared off the face of the earth. He went to
just
work.
Just a quick 12-hour road trip and then went to work.
That's right. And that's December 11th. He seemed fairly normal. No one reported him in bad spirits again. There was bank activity on his card. And there were Christmas gifts purchased on the 12th. And this shows that he actually went into Nevada, which to me is like not that unusual. You saw on the map how close St. George is to Nevada. So to me, that's a detail that I didn't look too much into.
I'm just curious as to like, do we know where in Nevada he went? Because like, okay, from St. George to Mesquite, I don't even know how to pronounce this word. Nevada, which is the first town over, it's 40 minutes, which in my opinion is not very far.
No, it's not very far. And he was seen by a neighbor going into his apartment that night. So he obviously went shopping and came back. He was seen leaving, but it was late and he wasn't seen coming back again. So no one can really know if he came back. On December 13th, early in the morning, between the hours of 7 and 8 a.m., I believe, a church friend called Steven asking him to fill in as a speaker at services. So this friend, I guess, was somewhere and he was concerned he wasn't going to make it back in time. So Steven, in turn, says, well, I'd love to be able to help, but I really can't because I'm actually in Las Vegas. And I don't think I'm going to make it back either. Right.
But he's not.
He actually is in Las Vegas at this point. So what he's saying is true.
How did he get to Vegas? How far is Vegas?
Vegas this is very from confusing. St. George is 1 hour and 51 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad.
So it's not that far. But he spoke with two people that morning, and neither of them asked him why he was in Vegas. So we don't know the answer to that.
But he was like, I'm in Vegas.
He is. And he seemed willing to try and make it back. But the friend is like, you know what? Don't even worry about it. I've got it handled. I'll make sure that I'm back. So he was ready to come back and help out. But, you know, he wasn't needed, so he didn't.
I already have thoughts.
Okay. All right. Well, I can't wait to hear them. But there's some more. It's really unclear where these calls pinged. At 11:54 a.m., a home security camera, which I'm beginning to really love these. They're like our new best friends, I think.
For real. Show me tapes. I want to see tapes.
Okay. And this is something that we can post on our social media. Steven is captured in his 2003 Chevy Cavalier coming down this cul-de-sac, this dead-end road in Henderson. Don't get too caught up in that. Henderson is outside of Vegas. It's really only like 20 minutes or so. So it's not that unusual, like, that he's in the Vegas area. And he parks his car. Now, that's off camera, but he's in the car for 6 minutes. Then you see him walk onto the frame, and he's walking. He doesn't look confused. He doesn't look lost. He looks like he's walking toward a destination, like he knows where he's going. He's, you know, like, not confused. He's dressed in like a light colored shirt. You can't really tell if it's white or light blue or anything like that. And he has dark pants on, so they could be jeans. They could be like dark work pants. I'm not sure. He's got white shoes, and he's got like a folder that's tucked under his arm. And then he like walks down the street and he walks off frame. There's another security, and I haven't seen this tape, but there's another security camera that is able to catch a reflection of him crossing the street. And then he's gone, and that is the last sighting of him. But that wasn't the last of the activity.
Hold on 1 second. Did he know anyone in that neighborhood?
No, no one knows why he was here.
Okay.
The next day, the association where the car was parked, they were able to eventually identify Steven as the owner of the vehicle. And they were able to see in the car that there was like typical stuff in his car, like blankets.
Okay.
There was like nothing, like his valuables weren't there. Like he didn't have a cell phone, wallet in the car, nothing like that.
Okay.
So they were able to determine by cell phone activity, I believe they were able to track the GPS, that about 5 hours after he was seen on surveillance, his location was picked up several miles north. And it really wasn't that far. Everywhere that I'm talking about now is within like 15 to 20 minutes of each other. So that was picked up a few miles north. And then about 2 hours later, about 15 minutes south of that location, the phone was pinged.
So basically back where he was.
Well, not exactly, just close. They're okay. All relatively close. So the next morning, Steven's voicemail was checked, and his phone pinged at that same location that his voicemail was checked for the next 2 days. And then nothing, because it's assumed really that the cell phone had died. And that was the last activity. The sightings, nothing after that. And that's where the story ends.
Okay. All right. I have a lot of questions.
I'll see what I can answer for you.
My first question is, so he didn't see the girlfriend at all?
No, he did not.
And no one like had a conversation with him in Vegas about like why he was there?
No one was there to meet up with. That anyone could find. No one knows why he was in Vegas.
In the video. Yes. He looks like he's totally coherent and normal.
Yes.
He's not like Bryce on the side of the road for 13 hours.
No. Nope.
Okay.
There's no history of mental health or any deterioration of his psyche, nothing like that.
So, like, without really digging, like, my first instinct is, what was he doing that he was driving around so much, and was he setting it up to walk away from his life?
You know, initially, I wondered the same thing.
You said initially. That means you don't think that anymore.
No, I don't. But it really, the setup really sounded.
That's my first, like, gut. And especially with the financial information, like, if he's getting evicted from his home, which he probably is if he's behind that many months on rent.
Yeah, he was probably pretty close to being evicted. I mean, his landlord is, like, hunting him down at this point. I know it's been a couple
of months. Do we think that, like, he was, like, gambling or, like, running drugs, and that's why he was driving all over the green earth?
Well, that is some theories, whether it's from, like
he went to Vegas to try to, like, win it all in blackjack?
Well, that is certainly a possibility. I haven't really heard the gambling theory, although it's a fair one. I've heard more about people that suspect him being so desperate for money that he was willing to run whatever. And, you know, why not go to Las Vegas? It's almost 2 hours away.
Yeah. And I mean, it'd be easy to get lost in Las Vegas.
Absolutely.
You can probably get, like, a new identity there. You can probably get whatever you want. It's Vegas.
Right. But I guess, like, I ask, you know, he has this supportive family. I mean, at the end of the day, would he have been homeless or something? Couldn't he have just gone home?
Yeah, but home was, like, 4 hours away.
True, but you've never had a parking ticket in your life, and you're going to go from that to doing illegal things, which doesn't align with your faith.
Yeah, I mean,
it's hard to imagine, like, how desperate would you have to be to not see those other assets as, you know, something to fall back on.
So, like, okay, what do you think happened?
Can I just tell you? Because I think this is a good time.
Tell me whatever you want to tell me.
I think it's a good time to tell you this alternate theory.
Are you going to, like, blow my mind right now?
I think it's going to blow your mind initially, but you're just going to be like, what? No. So, this is going to take a lot for me to not take a trip into another case, especially since it's one that I am working on to potentially cover. So I'm really gonna have to hold myself.
So it's back. Like a crossover episode?
Sadly, yeah. For those of you who haven't heard of Susan Powell, I'm just
what?
I
hold on.
I'm just going
all right,
to tell
all right,
you this.
All right, go.
She is a woman who went missing. She's a wife and a mother of two young children. She went missing on December 6th of 2009.
Wait, so that's like days.
Yes.
In the same state, right? Utah?
Yes.
Okay, oh gosh.
So,
oh gosh. Go ahead.
Susan's husband, Josh, threw out a theory. It's really hard to not make this sound biased. That Susan and Steven somehow knew each other, ran away together to do missionary work, and they're probably in Brazil somewhere because that's where he did his missionary work. And she ran away from their lives together. That's
Amy.
It.
Amy.
What's up?
As someone who, okay, and guys, just so you know, if Amy does the Susan Powell case, I know it really, really well. Like, we watched the new, what special was that? 2020?
It might have been.
At the same time, and rage texted each other. And, like, rage texted each other the entire time.
Was it, well, it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, I think it was Dateline. Check it out if you haven't. I do hope to do it.
Okay, so this is what I'll say about that. Absolutely not. But I will say, if you guys haven't and you want to listen, full disclosure, Amy and I, and tell me if I'm wrong, we support law enforcement. right? They have the hardest job, in our opinion, on the planet.
Yep.
They go to work every day to protect us. It's really easy for us to sit on microphones and have an opinion.
I 100% agree.
We support them. Like, I don't go to work every day and worry if I'm going to come home or not, okay? And law enforcement does. And I give them so much credit for that. That's my high horse. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. That being said,
yeah,
the 911 operator in this case, go, if you ever want to be infuriated and literally want to throw your phone, go listen to the 911 call from the social worker in this Susan Powell case. That's all. You'll want to throw your phone out the window. And that's not, has anything to do with this case. It's just where I go with that case. But Susan Powell does not know Stephen Kocher. They are not in Brazil together. They do not know each other. They do not run away together. Josh Powell is a psychopath. And again, thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
And that's definitely an opinion that a lot of people have. But there is more than one
theory. I'm sure there's more to it, though.
In summary, it pretty much is a thrown out theory. Even though it's out there,
okay,
I have to say it. It's been discussed. I think it's been looked into pretty well. And it just doesn't really fit. What his family thinks is that he was looking for a job.
Okay, and I'll buy that. But then where did he go?
I mean, that
to space?
That is the question. I mean, some theories do say that he was really depressed and probably walked out into the desert and ended his life. I have a hard time buying those ones. I mean, we've talked about it in previous episodes. You have to hide your own body really well that nothing or nobody can find it.
So I'm about to blow your mind.
Stop. Okay.
I do not think this is foul play.
No?
At all.
No?
Not even a little
okay.
bit.
Okay, tell me how this works.
So, like, do I think that he may have gotten mixed up with the wrong people or done gambling? Or he did some gambling and tried to make a little money and whatever? Sure. But nothing about this says foul play to me. I would actually be more likely to believe if you told me he was in the neighborhood to break into houses than if he was in the neighborhood and someone killed him.
Huh.
I don't know. I just, my gut. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I just think, like, the fact of all the running around and the fact of nothing fitting together, everything was out of the norm. I could be convinced he left his life. I'm not convinced he commits suicide.
Okay.
I guess I think he left his life. All right, in my head, this is what I'm coming up with.
Okay.
He's going to Vegas to gamble, right? He's been gambling. He has a gambling problem, which is why he can't pay his bills. Okay?
Wow.
And full disclosure, hold on. This is me completely spitballing. This is not fact. I am not reading up a website or anything. This is me spitballing. So if this is not true, whatever. So maybe he has a gambling problem, right? And he decides that he has to just leave because he owes money to. Okay? Stay with me for a second.
I'm with you.
He goes to his ex-girlfriend's house to, like, talk to her, borrow money from her. Who knows why? But it's a connection. She's not there. He talks to her parents, and he's like, I can't do this with her parents here. Whatever he's there for, he doesn't want her parents around for it. So he leaves. Then he decides to go back to Vegas, try to win a little money. That doesn't happen. Then he's like, all right, I'm just going to leave. I don't know what he does once he parks in that neighborhood, but I don't think it's foul play.
Wow. Well, you said you were going to blow my mind, and you did.
You think it's foul play? Really?
Well, okay, so let me tell you that what you're saying...
Please don't tell me you think he ran away with Susan Powell.
I don't... Trust me, I don't think that. I don't think that your theory is not plausible. It's definitely plausible. And it fits.
I mean, I'm open to something better.
So I do want to tell you that after the cell phone died, that was never found. The wallet was never found. Thank God the car was found.
Right, because he left it somewhere.
unlike with Jacob's car. This car was found. So, and
I will say, ID, oh, go ahead.
His ID wasn't found either. So, I hate to say it, but that fits even more into your theory.
When you buy a fake identity, right? Do you have to show them, like, do they edit your ID, or how does that work? I've never gone to Vegas and tried to buy a fake ID.
I have never tried to get rid of my identity, so I don't know the answer.
I mean, I tried to use a fake ID in, like, college, but I had a good friend of mine that kind of looked like me that was a couple years older. That's the extent I got. I hope that no one listening cares.
I know.
But that's about all I did. I've never gone to Vegas and been like, how do I get a new identity?
No.
When I go to Vegas, I stay in, like, the nice parts.
Well, I'll tell you that when I finished looking into this, my thought was that he left looking for a job and he accidentally met with some foul play, like a robbery or something, because of the wallet not being found.
Was he the robber?
No, I thought that he was robbed.
And what? They just, like, dumped his body somewhere?
Yeah.
In the middle of a neighborhood, in the middle of the afternoon? I mean, crazier things have happened.
I mean, Las Vegas is literally in the middle of the desert, so it wouldn't be too hard to properly dispose of a body.
Yeah, that is true. I've, like, when I go to Vegas, the first thing I want, as soon as, like, I usually go for work, and as soon as my conference is over, I'm like, get me out of the city. And I go out to, like, the desert and Red Rock. I've been a few times, and, like, get out in the canyon and walk and whatever, just because, like, Vegas is, like, super stimulating. But that being said, yes, you drive for, like, miles and miles and miles of desert.
But why that cul-de-sac? Like, either theory you go with, why? And I should say that this isn't kind of upper-class neighborhood. Why would you drive your car into a dead end? Why not, like, a parking lot?
Okay, here's a theory. What if he was looking for, like, houses for sale that were empty that he could stay in?
Like squatting?
I mean, why not?
Well, for what? If he was going to leave his life, why wait?
I don't know. None of this makes sense to me. I'm just trying to...
No, I...
Spitball.
So, I'll tell you why the gambling theory makes sense to me more than he's, I don't know, like, looking for a job or whatever. It's because being so much in debt can get you into serious trouble with the wrong people mm-hmm. and stuff. You're not making ends meet. You can realistically, I mean, it might hurt your ego. Ask your parents for help, move back home and all that stuff. But gambling and getting into trouble with that is really scary.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe he was like, okay, I don't want to come back to my parents' house. Let me see if I can hustle and make a quick buck. And I mean, maybe he was successful at it for a minute. Like, maybe he was up a few $100 or something and then was like, okay, now I'm going to buy more. I'm going to do more. And then it kind of escalated from there. I have no idea, but, like, I don't borrow money from bookies.
Right.
So I don't know. But I feel like that's actually plausible comparatively to, I don't think it's foul play.
So, I mean, it's hard for me to wrap my head around it because everyone swears that he was a devout Mormon. I mean, I'm not a dummy. I know that people don't abide by the codes of ethics of their said religion. You know, some people do, and good for them. But a lot of people don't completely, not 100%. But I guess I hesitate a little in thinking about that, because I'm pretty sure if drinking, drugs, and all that is against the religion.
Can I tell you something? So,
yes, please do.
And this is not my knowledge. This is, like, the Google. And I'll actually send it to you so you can source it. David Berkowitz recently was Catholic. He's Jewish, but converted to Catholicism. And is a devout Christian.
He's also a psycho. Just kidding. I mean,
Well, no, you're not just kidding. That's actually true. H.H. Holmes, which is like one of the first deadly serial killers. I actually just had a conversation about him the other day, was born into a super religious family. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Dahmer was in the Churches of Christ.
All right. You made your point.
Like, John Wayne Gacy is a devout Catholic, and he went to Catholic school and thought about becoming a priest. Like, hello? Okay, Ted Bundy was a Mormon.
All right, you made your point. Gotcha.
I'm just saying, like, you can be...
And I don't disagree with you. It just gave me pause, is all I'm saying.
I mean, sure. Give me no pause at all.
I guess I'm trying to see, like, the positives here, okay?
I mean, okay, I don't think it's foul play. I don't think it's suicide. I'm going to say he was gambling and he tried to leave his life to run away from all his problems. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Whether he's alive or dead now, I don't know. Like, maybe he encountered foul play, but he left on his own accord. That's my theory.
And that's a good one. I still wonder if he was looking for work and met with foul play. I think that yours is a really good contender that I did not even fathom when I was working on this case.
That's why we're so good at this together. That's why we're a team, Amy.
That's right.
Yeah, I just think the Vegas connection is too strong. And I think he went to see his ex-girlfriend for a reason. I don't think he went to go say hi. Part of me wonders if he was going to ask her to borrow money. And then when her parents were there, he was like, well, crap, I can't, like, talk to her with her parents around.
Well, they literally own a ranch. So something tells me that, you know, they're not living in a trailer. They probably have
right.
some money.
And that's part of me wonders if, like, he was trying to borrow money from her, maybe to pay back his gambling debt.
It's a good one, Melissa.
Hey, you know, I try. Sometimes I think of things.
Yeah, you're a smart girl.
And again, guys, like, this is totally my theory. It's not fact. Please don't, like, run with this and be like, oh, this is what happened. Because we have no idea.
No, absolutely not. But when you and I used to look at forums on whatever case we were interested in, what would happen mm-hmm. is, even if it was like Reddit and it was like some, let's say it's some ridiculous theory on an alien coming down from space and abducting someone, it would...
Like Brian Schaefer?
Right. It would force us to go and look more into the case. So it doesn't really matter. It
yes.
never mattered to us if the theory was ridiculous. It would force us to be our own investigation. Or investigators,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
To say, like, that's why this does... And guys, like, I would love for you to come at me and say, no, it can't be gambling because, you know, like, argue with me. And I'm fine with that. I love... Amy and I will defend or agree with valid points all day long. Like, that's what we do. We sit here and we... No, I don't think that's right. Here's why. And she'll say the same thing. So, please, tell us.
And like, if we're wrong and you guys go do your own investigating... Even better for this
yeah.
guy or whoever it is that we're talking about and their family.
Agreed. We just care that it gets solved.
Yep.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Would I like to solve them all? Yes. My mom would be so proud. But.
Yes.
We're okay with anyone solving them.
Absolutely. 100%.
So I think for me at this point, I'm willing to open it up.
Yep. Go for it. I'm landing with your theory, I think.
I convinced you.
You did.
So, yes, please tell us what you think.
Please, absolutely. We want to have a discussion with you. Check us out on all the social media platforms. Email us your theories.
Yeah, please tell us. And if you have a reason that I missed something and it's not gambling, please tell me. Or if you know someone that, like, knows about gambling, like, hopefully not with bookies because that's dangerous, but if you do, please share that with us. Like, I would love, I know, right? I'm such, y'all, we are such goody two-shoes. Amy and I, like, follow rules. So us and money, like, us in being into this stuff is like, no murders are happening. Like, that's not gonna happen.
I just have to laugh for a minute at what episode, I don't even remember what episode it was, but we were like, sex traffickers? Do they have a special name? Like,
you guys, we don't know anything. Like, we are literally like you guys that just are really interested in true crime. We love it. We like to consume it. We're just genuinely interested.
Love a good meme.
We are not out doing crimes. We are not doing crimes.
Absolutely. All right, guys. All right,
for real, that's all.
That's all, guys. We'll see you at same time, same place next week. Thank you.
All right, bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.